It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl King today with Jim Cramer, David Faber, the New York Stock Exchange. Pretty steady pre-market after five straight gains. Got the Fed taper announcement, another S&P record high. Got some surprises today. Bank of England holds steady, watching OPEC Plus and a new COVID low in jobless claims, 269,000. Our roadmap begins, though, with Moderna falling after the company cut its 2021 forecast for COVID vaccine sales.
Plus, we're going to have a first on CNBC interview with Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon. The shares are soaring after the company did post a beat of earnings estimates and record sales.
And IBM completing its long-awaited spinoff of its infrastructure services business, Kyndryl. We'll talk with the CEO ahead of the company's first trade. Moderna, though, is going to be the lead. Not only is it a miss, revenue was light, and their guidance on COVID revenue, Jim, is below the street. They're blaming some supply constraints on international deliveries.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that people get these press releases, and this one was buried. You read about the problems there pretty late in the game here. And what bothers me was is that they put all these other great things before they have the 2021 update about, you know, personal vaccines and stuff like that, and you're all excited. And then you get to the just bomb dropping here. But they did, you know, some people say, look, some of it's delayed to next year. But you're going to – this has turned out to be a young company. David, Pfizer, not a young company. Merck, not a young company. They seem to know how to handle volume.
Is that what the issue is? Just handle the volume?
Yeah, I think so.
You do?
I think it's hard.
So it's not as demand-based?
It's hard to be as predictive if you just...
Right.
Before we too hard on this guy, I mean, Bansal, I mean, let's remember what they did.
Incredible.
They were the first one to have a shot. That was the actual bottom of the stock market. The actual bottom that day. They said, we have had a trial with one person. Well, so now they're sending... just a huge number of these, so I don't want to be too critical of those. But it does remind you that when you're investing with a young company, you have to accept the fact that maybe they could cut their forecast without reasoning that we would think, which is like, how could you not know? I mean, supply chain, you think they, who has supply chain problems like them? I mean, who knows what they have to produce? So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, let's look at them a little more kindly, but the stock has had such a run that people are looking for a reason to...
It has. Although the stock did remember that week in which when we first got the very positive phase 3 results on molnupiravir and Merck stock soared, Moderna began a sell-off then
That was the beginning.
Should point out, by the way, since we've been following it or certainly closely, molnupiravir is called Lagevrio in the UK. Approved.
Well, I thought that was great.
Approved. So the first oral antiviral will be available in the UK... within days. There it is. So, you know, they said safe and effective 7 different times
in their
press release announcing it.
That's terrific news.
November 30th is when our own FDA...
By the way, Regeneron had good numbers and talked about their cocktail.
Yep.
I did think for the irony part here, so Moderna talks about when it's late. And then 3 paragraphs later, a share repurchase program of up to $1 billion. But the stock's falling more than the repurchase.
Yes, it is.
Get in there and buy.
How does this all fit in, though, with the comment about post-pandemic life? You got maybe a more reasonable vaccine schedule. We're going to have antivirals, at least in the UK. All these other names, the Etsy's of the world, the Pelotons that have given up so much since January.
Well, I mean, I think that as Frank Del Rio is going to say tonight, the CEO of Norwegian Cruise Lines, look, we are in that post-pandemic world. I think that a lot of us now find that we're shocked when someone has COVID. When Aaron Rodgers has COVID, it's shocking. He's a quarterback.
I'm aware.
When Saquon Barkley might have, we're now trying to figure out whether it's a false positive or not on his test yesterday, because I picked up a player who might be a sub in fantasy. But there is, we start thinking, how did that happen? How did that happen? Hey, look, a lot of us know the people who broke through on 2, but 3 vaccines seems to be that magic number that I don't hear a lot of breakthrough.
You felt good since your booster. Yep.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, I'm not going to like stick my hand into a, you know, hornet's nest because I've got anti-hornet stuff on. But yeah, I do. I mean, I was very proud the other night. I went out to a restaurant. They said, can we see your card? I said, yeah.
It was like 007.
You got two cards.
I have a license
to eat.
So many different shots.
Yeah, turn it over.
Yesterday I told someone, I said, well, are you vaccinated? I said, 4 Modernas and 3 Pfizers. And the person said, wow, that's a lot of vaccines. they didn't understand the iron, the jokes that people are now doing.
Thankfully, as we pointed out every day, rates continue to decline in much of the country,
yes.
Hospitalizations. But the virus itself is quite, it's much more deadly than it seemed to have been at the outset of the pandemic.
Right.
And it's funny because I was talking about molnupiravir this morning. Their trial, 1 in 50 people who were on placebo died. And 14% ended up in the hospital. That was just the trial, the phase for molnupiravir. Let's not forget, it is still out there and it is still quite dangerous.
I mean, one of my doctors had out for a week in tremendous pain, a 76er. I got it and very, very sick after a breakthrough, so...
There are breakthroughs. But
yeah, there are breakthroughs. And I think
back to Moderna, third shot conceivably will be more, but, even more protective. And so,
but a lot of people die from the flu. I don't want to minimize it. Now the president again is saying here's a new group of people that has to get the vaccine. I think that there's tremendous tension.
You mean kids?
No, some people. If you have 100 workers.
Oh yes, the federal yes.
I think that there's still. Dr. Topol is talking about. There's certain states that just, if you went to them, I think you're going to expect that there's high risk.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly watching, for seasonal trends to see if we get an uptick as we move into the winter. We are watching Qualcomm today, though, beating on earnings, reporting a 56% rise in smartphone chip sales year on year. As Jim said, we're going to talk to Cristiano Amon in the next half hour. I don't know. Can we string together onsemi, NXP, Qualcomm? Some decent prints in the space.
Well, I think that we have to recognize that there really was a remarkable series of acquisitions, David, in your world, where Qualcomm really bulked up on auto, and now they're integral.
Well, the Veoneer deal, which, where it was kind of complex, but it did give them the ADAS technology, which is going to be important for autonomous. That's early days there, but they are making a lot of the fact that 38% of their revenues were derived from non-handset sources, and they're very excited about that. And I'm sure Mr. Amon is going to come back to that point time and again when we do interview him, particularly if he's on his talking points. But they want to emphasize that because it shows there's a diversity of revenue streams coming for the company, and it's not all just about handset sales.
No, and by the way, they have clout because they did not have a problem getting wafer supply, it looks like, from Taiwan Semi or from Samsung.
They seem to have managed the supply chain, and that's something else we're going to want to ask him about as well.
They're not afraid to say the word Apple on their call. Remember how everyone, the Cupertino giant, they sneak the stuff in. They're not, and I think one of the reasons why is because they tussled.
Tussled is a nice way to put it.
Tussled,
yeah, they really went at it for quite a long period of time.
That was Mr. Malenkov.
Who was retired.
Yeah, he had a velvet fist. Whereas Cristiano's, well, you'll see. He's pleasant, not pixie-ish.
No,
but pleasant.
I think a lifer. He's been there for a long time.
Very, very smart, Phil.
Very, very close to.
Enjoys his company is. He's,
to be fair, the stock is breaking out today, but
well,
it has not been the greatest, as you can see, 3 months. But even over, if you take a look,
the analysts were wrong, David. They didn't see all these different divisions that were on fire.
No,
they didn't get it. There's been a lot of analysts getting a lot of things wrong in the semi world.
Why do you think that is, Jim?
I think that a lot of people misjudge. It all seems to come back to Intel. There's just so many analysts who still are blinded by the light. They can't understand it. I think Advanced Micro, when this is over, is going to have a larger market cap than Intel. NVIDIA, they didn't see coming one bit. We can talk about NVIDIA forever because they have the Omniverse.
We should keep talking about NVIDIA a bit because, every day you watch it, it seems to be very close to, if not hitting a new high. It's right there again.
It's the Omniverse.
And it's approaching a $700 billion market value. So it's, number six?
It's interesting. Qualcomm was against the ARM deal. They've lobbed, NVIDIA's trying to buy ARM. That would give them game, set, match to everything.
What does NVIDIA do if the ARM deal doesn't happen? Does it matter?
No, it doesn't at this point because they have the graphics chips, the graphic cards that you need in order to be able to have Zuckerberg's metaverse has to be on NVIDIA's Omniverse.
We're going to have to get a metaverse animation, I think. in the same way that we had one for
Kathy Wood
or SPACs.
Oh, did she? Did the metaverse?
Let's work on that.
Did her sell Zillow after she bought it?
She sold, numbers? I think, almost 30%.
I think that was her avatar.
Across the whole.
No, that was kind of she bought low and then sold lower. Something 300,000 bought the day before and then unloaded 2.86 million yesterday. I put Rich Barton on the wall of shame yesterday.
Oh, we're talking Zillow now. Yeah.
Yeah, Zillow.
You put him on the wall of shame.
He went on the wall of shame.
Whoa.
Well, because, you see, he said that it was obviously very difficult to do it. But if you go back to the previous quarter, he said it was really going great. So unless it collapsed in a period of sale.
You don't like that. You don't like when people are not honest.
No, ill-advised.
Yes.
We never
do you take somebody down from the wall in order? Is there a limited quantity of wall space?
I said he would come down immediately when he retires or spends more time with his family.
I'm saying you're putting new one up. Do you have to take somebody down? No?
You don't have, like, emeritus or
ex officio? There's only so much space.
I have a veterans committee that
on the wall.
Puts people right back in. So you have to be careful.
How many people are on the wall right now? Do you know?
Yeah, it's very few. But I have to tell you, this man
earned it. If I put my phone up to the QR code on your head, will it tell me how many people are on the wall?
We're going
to
do that joke every day, aren't we?
Damn right we are.
Merck's up $2. It's your stock.
I'll find out right now. Oh, there's seven people on the wall. Carl.
When we come back, IBM's infrastructure services spinoff Kyndryl set to begin trading at the NYSE today. We'll talk to the CEO. Got a lot of earnings to get through. Kellogg and Viacom, Roku, Etsy, EA, plus some downgrades of Starbucks and AMC. We're back in a moment.
IBM completing its long-awaited spinoff of Kyndryl, that's K-Y-N-D-R-Y-L, symbol K-D, with the new company set to begin trading here on the New York Stock Exchange today. Joining us now, first on CNBC, is Kyndryl Chairman and CEO Martin Schroeder, formerly of IBM, and this is the spinoff of IBM. Martin, it is great to see you. Congratulations on ringing the bell, and tell us exactly what Kyndryl will be doing.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity. Look, we start life, Jim, as 88,477 of the best digital engineers on the planet running the world's infrastructure today. We're the biggest in the space. We've got a great set of intellectual property. We've got great relationships with our customers, and we're really excited about the ability to invest we now have, and we're really excited about the freedom of action we get to go participate in that market ecosystem that our customers have been asking us to do. So we're really excited about our path from here.
Well, let's drill down on that freedom of action. On your website, you say, as an independent company, Kyndryl will partner with industry IT leaders in addition to IBM. Well, I presume that means an Amazon, a Google, it could be even Azure. And will that make it so your total addressable market is far bigger than you currently have?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jim. So first and foremost, IBM is a great partner of ours, and we will continue to partner really, really well with IBM, with our customers, because we still have highly complementary skill sets, highly complementary offerings. But at the same time now, we get to now go partner with other hyperscale cloud providers. We get to partner with other platform providers. We get to partner with other application vendors and, of course, a whole range of other systems integrators. So we really now join that market ecosystem that our customers are using every day, the ones that our customers are saying, you know, can you help us in this space? Can you help us with this hyperscale provider? So it's a really big deal for us. And it does allow now our market to basically double from where we sit today.
Well, I like all that, but then I was kind of off-put by this line in the Wall Street Journal story saying that you don't expect to show revenue growth until 2025. I mean, if you've got a total addressable market that can double, I'm surprised that you are so downbeat about when you can turn revenue growth.
Yeah, look, the business, Jim, has been on a sort of a 5-6% decline, and it's very much a backlog driven business. So as we rebuild that backlog, which will take some time, and again, we're running hearts and lungs of our customers' infrastructure. So these are, you know, long sell cycles. We have to develop these relationships in the ecosystem, and then really importantly, we have to start making our investments to move our skills, to move our labor pools into those faster growing areas. So this will take us a little bit of time to stabilize the business and then return to growth. But because of this services nature of the business, once we get that flywheel going, we're going to see a nice, good, long stretch of growth in front of us in that market.
Well, I know sales is important for growth stock investors, but I have to believe that now separated from IBM, that your gross margins can expand, operating margins can expand, maybe high single digits.
Yeah, look, we see an opportunity here to really do both, to stabilize the revenue base and to continue to improve improve our margin base. But we're also going to be investing quite heavily. So we're really focused on where margins are going to be in, say, 24, 25, more so than we are where they are going to be 22, 23. We have to invest here in order to get back to growth. That is our focus.
Okay, so, Martin, a lot of people working at the company, and I think that's great. I was hoping for a little bit of rationalization of the workforce, but here again on the website, you say we're 90,000 strong and growing. Maybe you should be 90,000 strong and trying to figure out who is not as needed now that you're no longer just selling a lot of IBM product.
Yeah, look, Jim, our path forward from here is to invest in the skills and the talent we have. Our team are the trusted people running the infrastructure today. So our plan is to take the teams we have and to expose them to the education, get them credentialed, if you will, in that broader ecosystem so that not only can they help with the deep skills they have around IBM technologies, but now we can help our customers on that journey, say, to the Microsoft cloud, to the Google cloud, to the AWS cloud. We can help them on their journey with other application providers. So our path forward is really to take the workforce we have, the trust we've with our customers, and to get them into these bigger market areas, these bigger opportunities. There is a lot of growth in this marketplace. We have to pivot to it. We're not where it is today.
And how about Martin Schroeder? You retired in 2020. You were old hand at IBM. I've known you for a long time, Martin. You seem more fired up than any time I have seen. So this opportunity for you must be, you really just get a chance to become a big time CEO of a large company and you're excited about it.
Well, look, it's, again, there, like I said, 88,477 people who really want a shot to show the world what they can do. So being a part of that is super exciting, obviously. And then, again, the freedom of action we get that in order to really reinvent this business is also super exciting. So I am delighted to be a part of this. This is an opportunity that I was not going to miss. And we've got a great team. We've got a great senior executive team. We've got a great leadership across the corporation. And we were able to recruit a terrific board for Kyndryl, and that's going to make such a difference for us as well. So it's just good to be part of this.
Well, Martin, we want to wish you the best of luck. Martin Schroeder, the CEO of Kyndryl, which starts trading today under the symbol KD. Great to have you on the show, sir. Thank you, Jim.
Still to come this morning, Qualcomm's chief Christian Amon shares a big, obviously, on the earnings beat that we talked about a moment ago. Meantime, take a look at futures as we continue to digest not just the surprise no hike out of BOE, but of course the Fed presser and taper announcement yesterday. Squawk on the Street's back in a moment.
A little bit of cheering here going on for Kyndryl. Just spoke to Martin Schroeder, but we're going to get to a mad dash 7 minutes before we get started with trading here at the NYSE. Costco.
Yes. Now, if you take my phone and put it up to my head and look at the QR code, you're going to see that this has been one of our longtime positions for the Chapel Trust. I've been telling members of the investment club this is terrific, but I did not think it would be this good. On their, they have a conference call that's just a tape. They're doing 11.7. U.S., I'm backing out gasoline, 14.7 international. David, and I'm going to tell you, the food court is back. Now, those of us going to the food court know that we can really chow down for very little money. The food business is on fire. A couple other businesses are good, too, but this is extraordinary. I don't even think Costco realized the kind of power it has. And people are clamoring for Costco's all over the world because the prices are right. But look at that.
There's also a theme that the biggest out there have the most control over their supply chain to some extent, or at least can navigate it far better than smaller players and therefore will benefit at their expense.
Now, I know we discussed the three-fleet Navy that Costco has. They have their own ships that they bring from Asia. I just think Costco is the kind of company where you go and there's going to be something there that is for less than they paid. And then you go tell all your friends, you got to go get the Zegna vest. You got to go get the Camus underpriced. They just are remarkable. And anyone who's worked with them, who's ever sold into them, knows that they drive a hard bargain. But it's the greatest source of, if you're in, you're in big. And you make a lot of money selling to Costco.
Right,
but Costco is a membership business. And they can raise the membership price anytime they want. And they will not lose a soul because the deal is such a great deal. And the food court, David.
You like that food court, huh?
Sweet.
All right. Speaking of sweet, we are waiting for an opening bell here a few minutes from now, of course. Looking for potentially a higher market. You can see right there, though. Kind of mixed. The Nasdaq, though, does appear headed higher 5 minutes from now. Stay with us.
Take a look at Roku this morning. 48 cents, better than 6 cents, but revenue is shy. They guide below for the Q4 revenue. Supply chain issues, Jim, are hurting TV sales. You got tough comps. The ad market is a little shaky. There's a lot working against it today.
Yeah, there is. This is had been a charm stock. I actually believe them on the TV supply chain. That made a lot of sense. David, you know, Roku's got competition, and it kind of dovetails with all the competition we've heard about everything entertainment. And it's relentless. The credit cards and entertainment are the two things that are just not cooking for people right
now. Listen, we know streaming, obviously, is the way most people watch television now, so to speak. Direct-to-consumer is the most important offering of most of the content companies. But Roku, it's, you know, you've got any number of different ways that you can choose to navigate that. They've done an incredible job creating an ecosystem that one might never have imagined from simply selling a device.
Well, look, do I want to buy it here? I mean, it's been in that kind of terminal downturn of companies like you mentioned that are Peloton. I mean, we are back into that world of trying to figure out who is end of pandemic. The one I want to compliment is Laura Alber of Williams-Sonoma. A lot of people felt that that was a pandemic story. Take a look. Ever since Simon Property said good things, a lot of the mall base are going up. And WSM remains my favorite. Very inexpensive stock. Very inexpensive.
There's definitely a cohort of companies that benefited from people being home. And some argue those people are home a little bit less. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange and the big board today celebrating its spinoff, as we just said, from IBM, tech infrastructure firm Kyndryl. We just talked to Martin Schroeder at the Nasdaq, its autonomous vehicle company Aurora, celebrating its listing via SPAC.
They're not Kevin Duranting, they're Kyndryling. I think a lot of people were confused, David, when they heard KD. That's Kyndryl, not Durant.
Got it.
Talking about Roku and streaming, Viacom gets $1 billion in streaming revenue and adds about 4 million globally to 47 million. I see Backish now talking about DOJ, Simon & Schuster without merit.
Yeah, the Simon & Schuster sale did get challenged by the DOJ. There was some question at the time of the announcement or when there was competition for that publishing company as to whether or not that deal, if it was announced, would get challenged. It did, but Viacom itself, you can see, listen, advertising, you know, they had 13% year-over-year growth, as Carl just said, $1 billion in streaming revenue, added, 4.3 million subs. I think they're now at 47 million total, Paramount Plus, and they're very excited about the Paws Patrol 2.
Well, how about, are you excited about the fact that Archegos is the gift
and
that keeps
Clifford
giving?
The Red Dog. Sorry.
Say again. Archegos is the gift that keeps giving. They enabled Viacom to sell a lot of stuff, and you see Credit Suisse getting out of a very
We did. I mean, it's funny. I'm glad we mentioned Archegos yesterday, just in light of, in general, some of the crazy moves that we've seen, but none crazier than what we saw with Viacom, which did benefit from that that moment in time. To your point, though, Credit Suisse, big story today in the Wall Street Journal. They are basically out of prime brokerage entirely, after suffering losses in excess of $5 billion from lending to Mr.
If they get out of banking and brokerage, they got it made.
They have a really strong business in Switzerland. The question, terms of private banking and what they do there and all those relationships, there's always been some question as to whether Credit Suisse would be in the sights of their hometown UBS and or another larger institution in terms of consolidation. Yeah. But for now, they lost a lot of people, Credit Suisse. A lot.
I know. Look, I feel bad. You could argue that anybody could have been snookered.
Yeah.
And that they were the ones that...
wasn't Credit Suisse. That Morgan Stanley did the underwriting for that big offering for Viacom. But, guys, can see. I mean, listen, linear TV, still a lot of questions.
Yes.
As to how it just... We know which way it's going. It's only going one way in terms of subscribers. And then advertising... And particularly in light of the fact that we've said many times, many companies are choosing perhaps to cut back a bit given they can't get product out there. So why spend money to try to sell product that isn't available?
And there's Netflix, that big run, because they had a huge hit.
Yes.
And that's a hit-driven business, the way that we used to think of as when Columbia Pictures traded separately. And they go, wow, close... Close Encounters moved that stock up 20%.
Well, I'm thinking back to the Barclays downgraded Disney a couple weeks ago. Their idea was that some of these streaming issues with people at home less would mean they'd have to push back their streaming sub-targets. Is there risk for Disney next week?
Yeah, look, this is something I'm glad you brought it up. I keep hearing this, that there's risk to Disney, risk to Disney. I think Disney's in a transition situation. I believe that the new Disney, park-related, conceivably omniverse-related, which is different from metaverse, that's Facebook's metaverse. But, you know, look, I think if you want post-pandemic, my bulletins say buy it. But not aggressive. I've never said to be aggressive because this is a transition quarter. You're not going to get. Look at what happened. One person got COVID in China, and next thing you know, you got how
many? Lock it down. Shanghai Disney.
Shanghai Disney gets locked down. Yeah,
locked down. Is there a sleepover?
They should have themed it as Mickey's sleepover. Yeah. That would have been better.
If I was a little kid, it'd be the greatest thing in the world. I just got locked into the Magic Kingdom.
You can't leave.
Jeez, ho, yo, 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 ho. This is my life.
By the way, one more thing in the entertainment space. AMC Webbush cuts underperform. Target 750. Their general line, Jim, is that they believe eventually retail is going to move on.
I thought that was very interesting because they kind of just it's kind of just out there. But they are saying that this fascination is going to go away. I'm not quite sure. And the reason why I'm not quite sure is because Adam Aron keeps putting up amazing numbers. And that does, I know, David, you could argue that it should be from a $10 level, but
They're not arguing the fundamentals of the business aren't getting better.
Right.
But they are.
I was yesterday. I mean, they had half as many shares outstanding December of 2020 as they do right now.
They've doubled
their share count, and by the way, they still are losing money.
Well, I mean, look at the cruise ship companies. People love those. And I have,
and even next year, it's trading at something like 10 times revenue.
Well, David, what's Tesla trading at? How many Fords did Tesla add today?
Tesla is having a very strong day today.
Right, so
it's back to a $1.23 trillion market value. That might be a new high, actually,
but,
on Tesla.
But I think, David...
You change the subject, because you don't ever want to admit that AMC shouldn't be bought.
The market cap is twice the annual North American box office.
Name, rank, and serial number. Okay? I mean, Adam Aron, on Melissa's excellent, excellent documentary, gave you a terrific soliloquy about how he was able to solve this company's issues on the backs of Jane Goodall on last night. Of the apes.
You keep changing the subject.
No, Jane Goodall.
Apes. The apes. All right. Never going to get into it.
Okay, want me to be linear?
He just loves it.
Oh, and
he
Take Two reported it better than expected. How's that? You want me to do that game? I can do that game. Bookings had a very good quarter.
We got a lot to get to. Did you guys see, though, not that we often talk about it, Roche buying $20 billion of its stock back from Novartis, which has owned it for 20 years?
It's really incredible.
It's an enormous deal, by the way. They had a pretty good return over time. I think it was over a 10% annualized return.
That was today. Did you see an enormous deal? And they said it was like 3 inches.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I remember when they did that deal. Do you remember when Roche owns Genentech? Remember Genentech?
Genentech.
Yeah. Roche owns that.
TPA.
Also Ford with buying back some debt.
Some debt. Yeah. I think that, once again, Farley surprises every day.
We're going to talk to Phil LeBeau's got something in Tech Check. Not Farley, but we're going to talk
Farley,
about
Farley. I send Farley emails at 3:30 a.m., 4. He responds. Sometimes you think, geez, there are emails cross. I mean, he does not sleep on multiple days. I'm convinced of that. And he has got to be the most aggressive CEO in North America.
Well, I don't think Elon Musk sleeps a lot either.
Well, Farley's
so
not.
So I'll take your Farley's Farley not, and up you a Musk.
Okay, I got to tell you something. It is Ford versus... it's going to be Ford versus Farley now because Jonas
didn't
agree.
The fact that we're calling it Musk versus Farley...
It is Musk versus Farley.
Yes.
And remember, it's the pickup. Farley has never said it's about the regular vehicle. It's the pickup.
Right.
And where is Elon Musk pickup? Which looks like kind of like an ice cream truck meets a Sherman tank.
It's not there yet. Not there yet.
Well, by the way, Farley makes fun. He doesn't think it's great looking.
No.
Farley.
Jim, NVIDIA's up another 3.5%.
Of course.
And the metaverse seems to be it's maybe it's catching on. Facebook, or formerly known as Facebook, is up 1%.
NVIDIA
is up.
NVIDIA is the platform that everybody has to write on, okay? Including Facebook. Everyone has to write on NVIDIA because Jensen Huang saw all of this coming years ago, where he realized that you can make someone look more like, I mean, when I saw the stormtroopers, the white stormtroopers, and I couldn't tell which ones were the drawings and which ones were the real ones, I knew. He had me at stormtrooper.
He had you at that, huh?
Stormtrooper.
Yeah, every day a little bit of metaverse. We have to talk about it. We should point out, though, it is still years away.
No.
No?
No, Ralph Lauren.
I mean, certainly talks
okay,
about
listen,
it from
listen,
a profit-making
Ralph
opportunity.
Ralph Lauren used metaverse to
away.
Sell suits, sell clothes, but I don't know if you caught anything that Strauss had to say from Take-Two. Take-Two?
Yeah.
That is, that's, GTA is in the metaverse. It's actually a verdict. Now, you said you can call it metaverse verdict or not, but I think that we have to speak to Qualcomm about metaverse because, believe it or not, they're involved.
You know what? I want to talk to Cristiano about the metaverse and a lot of other things. In fact, as Jim just said, we are keeping an eye on shares of Qualcomm. Take a look at them because,
is it up 20
as we
yet?
Told you before we saw the opening bell, it's going to be a very strong performer, and it is up almost, let's call it over 12%. 56% increase in chip sales is what the company saw. That is despite what were, of course, shortages around the globe. Joining us now on the first on CNBC is Cristiano Amon. He is the company's president and CEO. Cristiano, great to have you this morning. And, you know, let's start there on the supply chain, because you did seem to navigate it in a way perhaps that some of your competitors were unable to. You even said in the call, on the call, we were able to work through the supply constraints to address the demand that came up. Give me a little more meat on that bone. What were you able to work through to make sure you were able to meet all the demand?
All right. Well, good to see you all. Very happy to be here. Very happy day for Qualcomm. But look, supply, Dave, it worked exactly as we planned. If you'll remember, a couple of earnings calls ago, we had said scale helps. We addressed the issue early. We had a number of designs of our products in multi-sourcing. We even multi-source leading node technology. We announced like three new products that are a result of multi-sourcing. We put capacity plans in place, and it's working exactly as we planned. We said that we'll see material supply improvements towards the end of the calendar year, and it's kind of reflected in our guide.
Right, so you're gonna continue to navigate it well. I mean, your CFO on the call did say you still have constraints across the board, and you have to figure out how the demand would have played out if there was supply across the industry. And I'm just curious, does that mean that there's even more potential demand as we move towards into next year?
Yes, and look, it's the reality is, if we look at where we are like today, we had great Q4 quarter, but you know, we're still short. You know, as we're gonna see supplies substantially improving at the end of the calendar year, as well as we get into 2022. But there's more demand than supply. And I think as Akash has outlined in the call, you know, as we go into Q1, we could grow more in especially some of the new revenue streams and, you know, the new growth areas outside handsets. But we have an incredible opportunity with Android, and we have been prioritizing, you know, the supply we have where we get the most return.
Yeah. Well, you know, those new opportunities you mentioned, and obviously I noted this earlier in our conversation about this. 38% of revenue is coming from non-handset related sources. How much and where do you feel comfortable with that going? Is it going to be above that? Could it ever be 50-50?
I think it's while we're not making that prediction right now, I think we're going to provide a lot of details about that at the New York Analyst Day, November 16. But here's what I wanted to highlight. By all counts, our diversification strategy is working. And it's working because at the end of the day, the market is moving to a roadmap. We're winning with technology. And if 38%, you know, doesn't indicate that the diversification is really working, I don't know what it does it. But the important thing to answer your question is, we have now many great vectors of growth in addition to handsets. If you remember the last earnings call, not this one, the one before, we said that the growth business are growing at 1.6 times the handset business. And the handset business is on fire because we have the first inning of 5G. We have the incredible Android opportunity. And now we created a number of growth vectors for the company, for markets that are growing much faster than handsets. We have the convergence of phones and PCs. You know, we have invested early. We've been talking for years about virtual reality, augmented reality. You know, Facebook changed their company name because of the success of Oculus. We're the company, you know, behind all of those devices, you know, whether it's Facebook devices, Microsoft HoloLens. That's a great vector growth for us. And we have IoT. And if you believe in the cloud economy, you believe in the Qualcomm, you know, IoT connecting all of those devices to the cloud. And that could represent much larger percent of revenues as we mature those markets.
Now, Cristiano, it's Jim. Really thrilled that you did the Veoneer deal, which is going to be for assisted driving. New Via is also a great deal. But what I'm interested in, and I think people should know this, is that you really have a hammer lock on pretty much everybody in Cell. You have Apple. It's mentioned on the call, so I'll mention it. But you also have Android. Can you tell people how big Android is? Because I think people somehow think that Apple's much bigger than Android.
Yeah, Android is doing great. And what happened is because of our technology roadmap, the Snapdragon, especially our 800 series, became synonymous with premium flagship devices. You see this on the Galaxy GS21. You see on the Fold. You see on the Flip. New form factors are coming up. I think Samsung's been very successful with the bigger screens, the flip phone. We're seeing new companies like Xiaomi. All of a sudden, Xiaomi is now number two OEM in the world, number one in Europe. Android is growing. I think the 5G has the potential to continue to change the landscape in the mobile market. And we saw with the, you know, what happened in the shift across OEMs, an incredible opportunity for us to grow faster than the market. The market in mobile grows in single digits. We're growing much faster. We're growing share within the Android premium and high tier. And, you know, it's important to highlight, when we sell a Snapdragon mobile platform 800, there's a lot more silicon content than selling a modem. So we one single Snapdragon 800 device replace a lot of devices with modem. We have more silicon content, more revenue and earnings, and we're very happy with the mobile landscape right now.
Okay, so Cristiano, David was talking about AR, VR. Your Snapdragon XR chipsets are doing incredibly well, the ones used by Facebook and others, but I'm trying to get a sense of how big that business can be relative to the terrific business now you have in auto and amazing cell phone business.
See, what I like about our cards right now, and I can't emphasize this enough, we have an incredible technology roadmap. We're one of the few companies that are all founded on, you know, high technology development, foundational technology. And what happened is this roadmap is becoming relevant for auto, for the future of the PC, is for the new type of devices that could become the next computing platform. You know, it's not far-fetched to think that, you know, in addition of your phone, you may have an augmented reality glass that's the new computing platform. And that is creating a number of new vectors of growth for the company, especially on AR, VR. We invested early, and that is the reason that of the 50 devices that exist today, all use Qualcomm.
All right, I want to talk about both of those things. Let's go back to autonomous for a second, Cristiano. Obviously, you see it as an opportunity. You've just indicated that the Veoneer acquisition, key to that as well. But we were sitting at this desk 5 years ago talking about autonomous fleets of vehicles that were soon going to arrive with the advent of 5G. How many years away are we from what seemed like it might have been a lot closer than it really was?
The way we're thinking about this, David, is I think that when you think that, let's talk about ADAS for a second before we go to autonomy. ADAS, level 2 plus and 3, is likely going to be as pervasive as ABS, seatbelts, and airbags. I think every car is likely going to have it. And we're taking the same approach we took to the mobile industry to auto. Can we make this scale? And that's what we're doing with the Veoneer acquisition. I'll give a couple of examples. It's already happening. On the autonomy front, we have a question. GM recently announced their Ultra Cruise. That's Qualcomm. That's Qualcomm silicon on it. And we're getting a lot of interest from the automakers about the ability to scale ADAS. And to answer your question, is the large opportunity is really level 2+ and 3. Eventually, we're going to get to full autonomy, but we have a lot of opportunity to scale ADAS before we get there.
Right, and a lot of years potentially to go. All right, you've made a couple of glancing references as well to the metaverse, at least in terms of your, you know, AR and VR and what you're able to do there. How big an opportunity do you see that eventually? Cristiano, do you agree with Mark Zuckerberg that it'll be many years, but that it will be a very significant generator of potential profits? And how will Qualcomm ultimately play, if in fact that is the case?
Yes. The simple answer to your question, Dave, is we make big bets. And when we invested in the foundational technology that allow you to have those incredible VR and AR devices, I'm sure Facebook is becoming confident in their view based on the success of Oculus, which is enabled by Qualcomm. I believe there is going to be incredible potential for you to be connecting physical and digital spaces. Whether you agree or disagree, we're going to live in the digital world or not. I think the opportunity to connect physical and digital spaces is real. A great simple way to point it to that is as we go back to work, you're going to have people online, you're going to have people in physical locations, and that's going to be just on the enterprise alone a necessity. This could be as big as the phone market if you think about all of us that have a cell phone could have a companion glasses. And we're the company to scale. So the way to think about the metaverse is there are multiple bets, there are multiple versions of how people believe the metaverse is going to win. You have a view for the consumer, you have a view for the enterprise. There's one thing in common. We're going to be the company enabling the devices like we're doing today for the HoloLens and the Facebook Oculus.
Okay. To be continued, perhaps in the metaverse at some point. When we meet there, Cristiano, in the metaverse, will it feel like this or will it feel different?
As just looking at the pace of technology innovation, I think it's going to feel like we're in person, but I wish I were in person with you guys.
Yeah.
I'm happy, you know, travel is back and it's good to see people.
As do we. We look forward one day to being in person with you as well, but certainly appreciate your taking time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Still one more Qualcomm CEO who is a delight to be with. And just, you know, these guys are tough, but they are also fair and I find them nice. And I don't mean nice like in the damning faint praise.
Right.
I mean just a terrific guy.
Right.
Coming up in the next hour, the earnings interviews continue. CEOs of Booking Holdings, Hanes Brands, Kellogg, and more. First, though, time for the bond report. Got the 2-year down to 42 basis points, lowest since October 21st, as we have the 75th record high for the S&P so far this year. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Watch Pioneer Drilling PXD. Once again, Scott Sheffield. He saw some lower, not great properties versus his whole mosaic. Two Harold Hamm at Continental, therefore raising his gross margins, doing a lot of things right. That's important during an era when Exxon gets to sticker what they're going to do, David, when it comes to climate change. So Pioneer's a winner, and I continue to think that's my favorite high growth name.
Yeah, waiting for OPEC Plus. Maybe we'll get some production news, but doesn't seem very likely despite the pressure.
But this is the one to buy, and Devon for dividend. They are both brilliant companies.
How about tonight?
Okay, Planet Fitness, trying to stay in shape. And then, we have a company, I don't know you guys, Papa John's. It's just been, it has exploded. It's doing so well.
Huh.
And that's a lot of that Shaq, the Shaqaroni, and then Frank Del Rio, the man who said, you got to be vaccinated, come on our ships, and it turned out to be a brilliant move.
Papa John's comps on a 2-year stack. Anybody want to guess? 2-year stack, up 32.
Yep. Wow. Well, 6 ingredients.
Wow.
They're very, very. I hope they bring us some.
They really turned that thing around.
Oh, that's, no, no. That's why I said that was Jeff
Smith.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm so happy to have them because it's a remarkable turn. And it's a reminder that you can bring in good people, smart people who are business people, Shaq, who understands the franchise business and just turn it around. It's a great hopeful story. I really like it.
While we have you, though, it's not just about the record highs today for Russell, S&P, NAS. But the VIX at the lowest since July, Jim.
Wow. Well, I think once you get past a Fed chief who says, will you stop it already? We're just going to do what's right. Who knows what's going to happen? It kind of took the Fed out of play. Now, I mean, worried about you can create one. You know, Taiwan, I'm worried about. But
you got through earnings. You got through taper.
Yeah.
Corporate taxes, not going to be a disaster.
No, now we're seasonally again. This is that period where things are just terrific. And I'd like to see oil stay here so that so we don't have to hear endlessly that Jay's asleep at the wheel.
We do have some declines in retail. I'm sorry, in spot gas, down 12 cents in the Northeast. Down 11 cents in the Great Lakes.
Wings, by the way, sold down 40 cents in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe some relief. Your favorite stock probably over the last 5 years, NVIDIA, is up another 5%. It is right at a $700 billion market value.
He is.
You don't want to lose sight of that.
I called him Da Vinci.
We talk a lot about Tesla, but this is up 113% this year. Yeah.
Look, this is a company that has real earnings. He's a genius. Remember, going to the headquarters. And I said, what is that on the walls? He goes, well, I figured out a way to grow grass vertically on the walls if you get the sun right. And this man is, he's everything. He's Copernicus meets Ben Franklin meets Da Vinci. He's remarkable. And Frank Lloyd Wright, let's let him in too.
Frank Lloyd Wright also. Yeah.
My dogs idly, David. I don't name my dogs.
We'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.